some of the allegations concerned the voting for aid to Cuba, voting for aid in Nicaragua, very broad.
I'd like to answer that because it's a very significant point. It is very important to this country, and even in terms of business, that the developing countries of the world, the poor, manage to stay afloat financially.
And hence, we have depended heavily upon the multilateral banking institutions like the World Bank and the International
Monetary Fund to sustain them. Now, that's quite a problem because these poor countries are also paying through the nose for oil. And hence, they have built up surplus. They have built up deficits constantly in the years since 73.
God
knows where that will end and how we will ultimately resolve it. But in the meantime, it's a very dangerous situation for the money of the world and also for the trade of the world. For example, our country does 40% of its exports with these poor countries, developing countries. So to keep these banks in business, that is the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund,
the various nations make contributions.
We contribute in round figures
around 8 to 20%
in these institutions. Now, if you try to offer them a subscription to their capital, which is the way it's worked, on any condition, even a condition which may never occur, for example, Cuba is not a member of either bank and couldn't borrow if she wanted to. And the banks have stated clearly that they don't intend to lend anything to Cuba. Nonetheless, according to their charter, with, you know, say 80 or 100 countries, if any subscription is made that is conditional,
such as
you may not lend to Cuba, they may not accept it. So if the United States contribution falls out because of a condition they cannot accept, even if there isn't the remotest chance that it's happening, it puts the world in a very grave bind, an emergency.
And of course,
I had a letter, by the way, on this subject, Sam, which I'll address to you, from every former Secretary of the Treasury under Republicans since World War II, asking me, as a Republican senator, not to dare to vote for any such proposition respecting Cuba or Nicaragua. Now, that's the, and Mr. D'Amato, he's telling you how to vote when it'll just put the world into bankruptcy. So it just shows the depths of the man's inexperience. Secondly, it just shows the superficiality of the approach to national legislation. I mean, if you had senators like that, forget it, as far as the USA is concerned, having any allies or being anything in the sense of itself or the world.
Do you think that there really
is a much more substantial impetus for your experience as opposed to having
a chance for someone else to have a go at it? Well, a new look.
I really believe that the people are taking me at my word.
And my word is that I just felt I could not
walk away from the present
dangers
with all the experience and seniority and the training the people of New York have given me. They've kept me there for 24 years. And that the times are just too tense and too serious.
And not to offer them my services, which I did.
Now, believe me, it's been a lot easier at times than to go through these grueling campaigns.
But having served as long as I have, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it because I know
the dangers
which we all face, and I know my ability to do something about them that's appreciable and helpful for our people. And so,
hence
my running, and I'm very hopeful that people will understand that and support me.
A double question, Mr. D'Amato has raised the issue of your age and your
health, and is also saying that he is attacking you upon your record. I take it that you would like to stand on your record.
Oh, I certainly do stand on my record. Not that I haven't made some mistakes. I'm sure I have.
No one's perfect.
And I'm sure of the 10,000 votes I've cast, I would like to pull a good many back. I just assume the voter has
a few brains, too.
That the voters understand how to make a decision in a matter of this kind, and I believe they will. I'm satisfied that the case has now been put to the Republican voters in New York, and that they will show acknowledgeability of it, which is characteristic of New York Republicans, and give it so, and it's my physical condition analyzed and reanalyzed by top experts, and all the papers have been full of it, and I think I can
do the job. I have a zest for the job,
and it certainly needs to be done.
And this late stage beginning, make quick prognostications for how Tuesday's instrument. I never predict elections, including my own. I believe I deserve to be nominated for the Republican ticket for Senator of the United States, and I have great faith, voters general.
Certainly is self-interested, and I hope very much that you will renominate.
Let me welcome you all here this morning. Certainly we're here on a very important mission. First, let me beg forgiveness for this attire. The rigors of campaign, I suppose, got me out of bed at 5 o'clock this morning to get here. So I hope you'll forgive me for that infraction. Now, brothers and sisters, we're coming into one of the most important campaigns ever waged by labor in this state. I'm sure that you can all agree with me, as to the unanimous support lended Senator Javits at our most recent convention in Kiamisha Lake. And certainly warranted. I thought on a number of occasions that if the junior senator from New York State compiles a record, as does the senior senator, he certainly will have contributed a great deal to the state and to the nation. I don't have to elaborate, I suppose, on what the senator has done since he's been in Washington. He certainly has lended toward those areas of great and vital concern to the labor movement as a whole, along with his representation of all the citizens. Now, we in New York, of course, had recognized that there's a possibility, slight possibility, that the Republicans were going to drum Senator Javits out of the party. This cannot happen. We cannot allow it to happen. And which is one of the reasons that all labor in this state, and I speak to some 200,000 Republicans, they'll have to go to bat to assure that Senator Javits wins this primary. And I have no doubt that after winning the primary, that the Democrats will do a great deal towards electing Senator Javits to his seat. As you know, long before now, we've had a labor committee operating in New York State, led by Tom Hobart of the teachers and Al Provenzano of the Transport Workers Union. They've been quite active throughout the state and reaching into all of the areas. I don't suppose that there's any large city that they haven't, along with the rural areas, that they haven't visited, and have had quite a large attendance at these meetings. Mm-hmm. You'll hear more from them a little later. The state organization and its COPE committee, of course, are conducting throughout the state a number of, and with the cooperations of a number of unions, where we've set up telephone banks throughout. I would dare say that there must be 300 telephones going during this campaign, and where we are talking to our people, are talking to the members, directly to the members and into the homes of families, to allow them to know of the importance of this primary election. I don't think any of us, I don't have to sing the praises of Senator Javits. He's been, I said on a number of occasions, he's been the darling of the labor movement throughout his political career. I want to thank those unions, regional unions, who have on a number of occasions made mailings to all of their members in support of Senator Javits. I wanted to indicate to you that we have sent now two mailings throughout the state to all of our Republican members, which we have on computers coming out of Washington. We have made two mailings to date of some, I suppose, 150,000 mailings on two occasions. I want to read this telegram of Lane Kirkland's to the Labor Committee, to Tom Hobart, and to Al Provenzano. And Lane says, "We view the re-election effort of Senator Javits as one of the most important Senate races among the 34 in the country this year. He was a leader in the fight for labor reform. He has stood with us on critical issues for workers and their unions. He has not simply used his vote to advance the well-being and security of workers and their families, but he has raised his voice in their behalf staunchly, consistently, and eloquently. And the AFL-CIO will join you in doing everything we can to assure that Senator Javits will continue to serve the American people." And it's signed Lane Kirkland. So you can recognize, of course, that the importance that our president, Lane Kirkland, places in this primary election. I suppose I don't have to talk to you about the importance, based on the action of our most recent convention. I'm going to call now upon, I want to thank too, first, before I get into that, I want to thank, besides the Labor Committee for Javits, I want to thank that wonderful operation we have known as COPE in this state. We don't play second best to any state in this union in regard to a COPE operation. I want to thank, of course, the Secretary Treasurer Howard Malasani, along with Cy Cohen, Teresa Hammer, of course, who isn't here this morning, but is constantly on the alert at meetings throughout the state representing the women's end of it. Along with that, I suppose there's not much more I can say, excepting that we must go all out. I know the polls may indicate a slight lead for Senator Javits, and on occasions they have watched some of the TV commercials on behalf of his opponent, and to me they were sacrilegious. The topics that they use in those commercials was just something unconscionable for any candidate for any office to be using. With that, now I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to call upon Al Provenzano, who serves as the Secretary of the Labor Committee, along with Tom Hobart as the chairman, and a group of a number of representatives of unions in the state who are working with that labor committee and serving on it, an effort to assure. We must assure. We can't come out second best on this one. This is labor's job to do, and by God, they're going to do it. I thank you very much. Al Provenzano.
Thank you, Ray. I want to thank all of you being here this morning. Ray speaks of the disgrace and what it is, the commercials that this guy from Long Island is putting against the senator. I call it an obscenity. I call it something that we should, just as far as we're concerned, what it tells us, because of us, the senator has a problem. Because either you're for labor or you're against labor. The motto is going throughout the state saying that he won't sell his soul to labor. Need I tell you more? I want to thank all of you. As we go throughout the state, we have proven something once again. We have taken this very seriously. We intend to be in Rochester this week. We intend to be in Buffalo. And we intend to be any place else where you need us to goose it up a little bit. Our information is that if labor turns out on the 9th of September, the problem will be over for November. We have no doubt, and I agree with Ray, that if we win the primary on the 9th in November, we will have returned Senator Javits to the Congress. We have told you this before. The moral aspects, the conscience, and what little good, as far as I'm concerned, in the Republican Party is all represented by Senator Jacob Javits. We cannot afford the luxury, because what's waiting in the wings will be a total disaster for the working man and woman, not only for the state of New York, but throughout the nation. If the common gnome on primary day, a low turnout, I have no doubt in my mind that if we make a special effort amongst those 200,000 that belong to the House of Labor, that are registered Republicans, if we can get them to come out and vote, it will be Senator Javits again on January the 1st. I don't doubt for a moment that what I'm saying now is something that each and every one of you know in your hearts. We're going to work this campaign on primary day as if our entire future depended on it. And believe me, our entire future does depend on the returning of Senator Javits to the Congress. We hope that each and every local union, each and every central body in this state will approach this contest with the idea that we're going to pull out the vote. You're going to get volunteers. You're going to let people off. You're going to use your staffs. We're using our telephones throughout the state. And it's only going to be work and sweat, and in cooperation with the COPE operation in this state, which is the glue in bringing back Senator Javits. I beg you, it is a one-shot deal on primary day. Let's get the troops out, and we will return Senator Javits to the Congress on January 1st. Thank you very much.
Well, of course, thank you, Al. We're not restricting the speakers here to any one of you that perhaps can see some areas that we might possibly have neglected, to let us know what your feelings are, what we should do, and so on down the line. I see Ed Clary out there, Morty Barr, and so many more of you that are making this effort a successful one on September 9th. Now, is there any one of you out there that have any thoughts that you would like to express in regard to, before I call on the Senator for just a few words? Again, you might say that the rigors of campaign again, and this Senator has traversed the state throughout, and I was informed that he's to be in out in Long Island sometime this morning, 10:30. And I can assure you that an unhealthy candidate cannot do the things that Senator Javits is doing presently. Now, is there any of you that would like to? Morty Barr.
Ray, just a short comment. This is almost like history repeating itself. 2 years ago in New Jersey, where another friend of labor, one of the few in the Republican Party.
You might cite that case, Morty, of which we're all somewhat familiar with, but just the term.
And I'm referring to Senator Case, where labor did much of what it's doing here, getting in a room of 50 or 100 people, everyone who agrees with one another. There's no votes to be gotten in this room. I think there's one difference, however. Senator Case was not doing what Senator Javits is doing. He just couldn't believe that a Jeffrey Bell, cut from the same cloth as D'Amato is, could defeat him with the kind of record that he built over many years in the Senate. And I think one great difference, insofar as the time frame is concerned, that notwithstanding his I would say mild announcement of support for Governor Reagan, I would just like to wager that as the Republican nominee for the United States Senate seat in New York, we will be hearing him campaign on behalf of Senator Javits and not the anti-labor Governor Ronald Reagan. And said again in that light, a D'Amato win would create the kind of steamroller, if you will, that will cause what to happen, what Vice President Mondale said at our convention, Ray, that without the state of New York, it is almost arithmetically impossible for President Carter to be reelected. I think it is so vital, not only to the state of New York, but to the working men and women of this country, that Senator Javits stem the conservative tide, at least in this state, because it will spread across this country. Now, CWA has been given the role by President Kirkland to coordinate the Senate races throughout the country. And our Executive Vice President, Jim Bowie in Washington, has, as long as with you, Ray, designated this race, this primary race in New York, as key. We are totally committed. Everyone in this room is totally committed. But unless we get our Republican members out to the polls next Tuesday, 6 days away, we're going to have another postmortem as the New Jersey AFL-CIO had 2 years ago with Senator Case. We cannot permit that to happen to us. It's up to us to get those extra 100 or 200,000 members out to the polls to give Senator Javits the kind of victory that his record deserves. And if Samuel Gompers' motto ever held, it certainly holds today. This is our opportunity to reward a friend. Thank you.
Of course, wanted to mention Ed Rothstein, who was handling that Long Island group out there. And certainly, Ed, we want to hear some good reports on what happens there on September 9th. That's your job, and you come back with a winner in D'Amato's backyard. Need I say more that, of course, Doug Allen, representing National Coop, certainly doing a yeoman's job in putting together and keeping together our operation here in New York. He's been of great help to us. I'm now Emma Diebel, of course, representing the black constituency, will be working constantly and has been, along with many others, and I may perhaps skip a name, but not intentionally, I assure you. I'm going to call now on Senator Javits for just a few words to, excuse me. Oh, you just got in, Tom. We have with us, of course, as he just entered, the chairman of the Labor Committee for Senator Javits, Tom Hobart of the Teachers.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy that all of you were able to come here today, and I think everything has been said that needs to be said. We've got 1 week left, and in that week, we've got a lot of work to do. Those of you who are here today and can help turn out this afternoon, again, I, like the others, encourage you to do that. We got an outstanding candidate, a candidate who has done everything for labor that could be done in the past. Now we have that unique opportunity to return that. And Senator, we're going to do that. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce to you Jack Javits, Senator from New York. Senator Javits.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you, Ray, and Marty, and to all the other speakers. I'm very grateful to you, and to all of you trade union leaders for coming this morning. The case has been very adequately put, I believe. I can win this race if I surmount the challenge to me in the primer. Perhaps it can be won anyhow, but it certainly demands my every effort to win this primary, one, to win the race for the Senate, and two, out of sheer self-respect, because as Ray has said, I have never in all of my career, and it's been 34 years, run into a campaign like this where such a low level of appeal to the public has been attempted. Now, the facts and figures are very clear. 300,000 voted in the last Republican primary 7 years ago. That represents, roughly speaking, around 15% of the enrolled Republican of the state. In my judgment, what will assure me a victory in this matter is if we turn out more than that. My feeling is that we need a minimum of 500,000 votes. 400,000 will leave us narrow and more at risk than we ought to be. So that's my feeling, that if 20% of the vote turns out, plus, I believe that I'll be home free. Now, I think the facts of the matter also are clear. If I can win the primary, I have every confidence that I can win the general election. The reasons are these. What I have done and what I propose to do has a direct relation to every working man and woman in the state. It really deserves their vote in the primary, if they're eligible as enrolled Republicans, or their work and support if they're not eligible to vote in the Republican primary. It's very much very personal. There's nothing, no tricks about this. It is well known that I've a lot of expertise and knowledge in the field of the world's money and the world's economy, but not too many people understand that that makes for prosperity or depression in the United States as well. Many more know than did, but it's still a handful. And it's also very well known that I have had an enormous experience in the field of keeping the peace for the United States, in respect to foreign policy, and that I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate. But again, that's kind of far away and distant, though I think it's meaningful to people and a sense of security for them to know that there's a kind of a man they regard as having a cool and wise head to see that things don't go haywire on the confrontation front or the nuclear arms front or all of those very, very dangerous threats to our country. But again, that doesn't really fully register with enough to make a quantum difference in a primary election like this. But what does register is where the individual gets off. What about the family person facing serious inflation, still double-digit inflation, which was always our indicator of a sick economy, and facing unemployment, and what's to be done about unemployment? Or the young person entering into the labor force, or the woman entering into the labor force but having children, and because she can't find daycare, which is very difficult to come by for a working mother unable to take a job. And what about the workman who is working in an unsafe workplace and sees his health and his mind threatened by a concerted drive against the protections of the Occupational Safety and Health Act by people who ought to know better and have deeper human instincts, but who are guided by the narrow determinations as to paperwork or having their plants inspected from time to time? And what about labor law reform to give labor an even break in the organization drives, which are so essential on a very selfish basis, to equalize the competition between the state of New York and other states? I've got a situation right now where one of the great manufacturing entities of the United States is considering coming into this state in a major location. And what do you think's giving them trouble and keeping them out? The labor climate. The fact that they realize that here, while workmen are highly skilled and very able, they're going to have to deal with collective bargaining, whereas there are still far too many areas in the country where you still can bargain with the individual worker to his great disadvantage. And national health insurance, one of the greatest complaints of our people, where cards are stacked against them, and yet where we are within sight, if we can get the necessary support in the Congress, of a national health insurance plan that will fully respect the private sector. Indeed, the plans that I have always worked on and do today are heavily based or exclusively on the private sector and upon labor management plans, which are the way to